Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents, recorded live in Chicagoland, USA,
here we go,
a new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, with your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dolby.
It's the Bad Rapport.
It's the Bad Rapport.
And we're going to sing about it. Listen to our show.
Listen to our show.
And I'm going to stop singing now.
Yay.
Hi, I'm Carrie.
And I'm Luke.
And this is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Can you believe it?
I think they can.
Okay.
Can I take these headphones off now? They're not comfy.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
You have that right. So, welcome to show number 7.
7 is a lucky number.
Yes. And lucky for us, we have comments. Hey, we're getting right to it, aren't we?
All right. Blasted Bill made the following comment. Totally forgot to comment on Ep 5. Actually, I lie. I kept remembering when I wasn't at the computer. I normally listen to the show, then comment from my laptop when I get to my next job, like now, but for some reason couldn't on episode 5. Anyways, wanted to say that Luke's Royal Carrie voice was one of the funniest things ever. On to episode 6. Carrie's belch was so well-timed that I almost drove off the road laughing so hard while making a left-hand turn. As for riding on my coattails at MarsCon, my coattails? The only coattails I have is from riding other people's coattails. So quite a switch to me thinking you guys were riding mine, but I know what you mean. Gargoyles was one of the best cartoons ever. I so want to do a Goliath costume some year. News of the Stupid was awesome this week. Extremely well polished and rehearsed, or sounded so. Great job. So pat ourselves on the back.
Yay.
Pat yourself on the back. Okay. Now I'm going to read this text from my husband, whom I'm angry at.
Okay. Well, I'll read this comment from Odd Austin. Patton Oswalt is awesome. Insane Ian is awesome. Mona Abaud is awesome. This episode is awesome.
Okay. Thanks for your awesome comment. Ken, as in the Ken, said, technically I was up at 5 a.m. this morning, but went back to bed and slept in until 8. With my wife not working out on the 26th, I should be able to donate then. Great episode. Thanks, Ken.
All right. Insane Ian said, hey, guys, great show. Thanks for playing my Christmas track along with the great Patton Oswalt. Looking forward to your review of my album next show. Please be gentle. I bruise easily. Also, News of the Stupid was fantastic today. Squash killed me.
Next up, Pooh Bear again. Again, I thank you for helping my overtime at work be more entertaining. Yay for Patton Oswalt. I hope he pops up more. Props to Carrie's belch. Very well done. I'm glad you guys enjoyed my one belch.
Yes. We'll be having much more discussions of Patton Oswalt and Insane Ian later on in the show.
But not belching.
But not belching. Danny.
Promise.
I promise. Danny says, I think that Tiny Toons bit was my first exposure to They Might Be Giants. The only song you didn't mention that I can remember is Yakety Yak. Your show has been consistently entertaining.
All right.
That's another stellar, juicy review soundbite, you know, we could put in there, like, quote, consistently entertaining.
Yes.
Danny. So.
Okay. And finally, Arkel says, you know, now that you guys are more than 4 episodes in, it's about time to start cutting promos for the show. Let me know when you guys have one, and I'd be happy to do a promo exchange with you. Geek of All Trades Podcast, arklecast.blogspot.com.
That was actually a parenthesis, me making a note to mention that. So,
all right.
You just read it as if he's, like, put it in there.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Questions? Okay. Luke's done songs for Jack Sparrow and Jack Bauer. Will there be one for Jack Harkness, or was there one and I missed it?
To answer your question, the answer is kind of yes and no. I have not written a song about Jack Harkness, but there is a wonderful there is a wonderful Filk duo from the South that goes by the name of Ridiculous, which they spell R-I-D-I-K-U-L-U-S. They have posted songs at the Thump Sideshow, so you can do a search for them. One of them is this song, which is a parody of my song, You Don't Know Jack. So here it is, Ridiculous.
Jack Nicholson's an actor, and Jack
what the
Black,
hell is
he
that?
Rocks for laughs.
Tosh, isolate that signal.
Jack Skellington's I'm on it, Jack. The Pumpkin King, with jolly epitaphs.
Where's
Bruce
it coming
Cameron
from, Tosh?
Played Jack Styles, who was
think
the
I've almost got
jack,
it, jack
of all trades. And Jackie Chan did his own stunts while juggling live grenades.
All of just these Jacks beloved, they all go the straight and narrow. But none of these Jacks holds a candle to Captain Jack.
Harkness!
Is that the Hitchhiker's Guide?
You can mention.
Yeah, what's it say?
Don't panic, he does this all the time.
The Doctor and Rose Tyler travel in his box of blue, tail the most dangerous object to the U.S. in World War II. A man named Captain Harkness tried to sell them space debris. It was a true the med ship that was full of nano genes. A plague of gasmen zombies wanting mummy did pursue. Sonic blasters and bananas, our hero somehow made it through. An act of self-redemption, Bond and Tojak knew the scene. Then the two became a threesome, Captain Jack had joined the team.
Who's up for some dancing?
They poured in Margaret's plans to the rift did iterate. Despite poor Jack's good looks, the Daleks did
exterminate.
Rose looked into the TARDIS as the bad look brought him back. If you don't watch Doctor Who, well then you don't know Jack.
Doctor? Hey, did you see where the Doctor went?
Doctor Who?
Yeah, that's him. Where'd he go? So now in Cardiff, I'm the head of Torchwood number 3. I'm broody because I'm dealing with forced immortality. Tosh, Owen, Gwen, Yonto, and the hub work by my side. Before Gwen, there was Susie, but she shot herself and died.
Twice.
I work above Yonto Jones, he undresses to impress. He keeps a useful pocket watch tucked neatly in his vest. When it comes to making coffee, you can't beat his technique. And he always lets me cheat when we play naked hide and seek.
Is that a compact those lux?
Christmas Eve procured the head of our favorite Time Lord. Now he's waiting for the TARDIS so that he can hop aboard. If you're cute and off in Cardiff, he might join you in the sack. If you don't think that's appealing, then you don't know Jack.
Doctor!
Captain, here there never was my ass.
Oh, did you find my watch? Kurt Saxon!
He just got back when through the rift sauntered his ex-wife, introduced himself as Captain Hart, but he looks a lot like Spike. He was a snarky villain, but Jack sent him on his way. And right before he left, he turned to say, oh, I found Grey. We dealt with Meat and Adam, the night travelers even did. I got hitched, Owen got dead, no need to stop for breath. And then John Hart came back, a puppet of lost brother Grey, though teamed up with the group, helped Cryo Jack to save the day.
Hey, kids, you miss me?
From Cardiff to the end of time, they'll take you for a ride. But you'll have to go back twice, at least once to apologize. It's a wasted effort, trace his catalog way back. Out there's many planets spinning that don't know Jack.
He is not your left goodbye.
Torchwood to the TARDIS, all companions he will woo. He may become the face of Boaz seen on Doctor Who. He's a smile you want on your side when aliens attack. And if you don't agree, well then you don't know Jack.
You know, if dead men get no tail, that could explain a lot.
You're telling me.
You don't know Jack!
Hi.
Hi, once again, that was Ridiculous, R-I-D-I-K-U-L-U-S, one of the many acts that are up and coming in the world of funny music that you can hear at thefumpsideshow.com. Actually, that's not... Actually, I don't know if we have that URL, but go to thefump.com and look for the tab that says Sideshow, and you can find acts at the Fump Sideshow. That's
you
what
just invented a URL that doesn't exist.
I don't know. It might. I'll have to check. Anyway... once again, Arkle, I wanted to, because it's kind of weird when we're getting comments from people that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, Danny, I'm not quite sure I know who he is at all. He just might be a random fan. He might
or
be someone.
It could be Dan Chamberlain.
It could be, but I don't know. when they just put Danny and they don't have a URL or an email address there, it's just like, do I know you, Danny, or whatever. But anyway, Arkle, I really don't know who he is too much, but I did look it up to see that he has a podcast called Geek of All Trades. It looks like they're up to about episode 33 or so, and they play a lot of funny music and stuff from the Fump. So,
by the way, I have a code today.
Oh, okay.
I just want the listeners to know that's what the sniffling is.
Yes. But once again, I want to say ArkleCast, that's ArkleCast .blogspot.com. I'll have to sign up for that and check his show out. So, and then if we make a promo, we can do promo trades.
Any relation to Urkel? I'm sure he's never got that before.
Well, I can tell by the crudely drawn Christmas tree on our notes, it's time for Christmas talk.
Yay.
So, Carrie, kick us with some Christmas science.
No, you tell what you want to tell about your Christmas first.
Well, Christmas was interesting because this was the first Christmas.
That's a song. Christmas is interesting.
Christmas is interesting. Yes, from the album Joko Sing Songs That Make You Want to Kill Yourself, Volume 8. Anyway, the point is, Sarah and I drove down to St. Louis, where her family lives, and I spent Christmas with her family, and her mom and dad and her brother and nieces and her niece and nephew and everything. And it was a nifty time. We were there for the 23rd and the 24th, and Sarah, now that the initial reveal has been done, we can let everyone in the world know, Sarah has dyed her hair back to somewhat of her natural color of brown, so she has normal hair again. And
it's
she
kind of a rich chocolate brown, though. It's kind of like almost unnatural looking.
Well,
and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, but basically, she had to do her darndest to keep that off of the internet so that her mom wouldn't find out in any way about it.
Because
you know, we showed up and got out of the car, and when Sarah's mom saw that her hair had been dyed back to its normal color, she just freaked out. She was like so happy, she started crying.
Oh my
god! She was all like, "I got my daughter back. She's been gone for 3 years." So, you know, literally, yeah.
Wow. So that's kind of sad.
So basically,
I mean, just that she felt that strongly against pretty purple hair. You know, I mean, like.
I mean,
it's nice. It's sweet of Sarah to do, but I mean, just that it made her feel like her daughter wasn't there anymore. That's kind of ridiculous.
Well, I don't think she meant it that, you know, that literally. But
I've been dyeing my hair, you know, not usually unnatural colors, but I've been dyeing my hair since age 14. So let's do the math here. 17 years. Yeah, so my mom doesn't, you know, really give a rat's ass what my hair color is anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, and the other thing interesting aspect about Sarah's parents is that her father looks very, very much like Santa Claus. Have you seen the pictures of
yes.
him? Yes. Okay.
She is from the Claus family.
Yeah, so like, she, you know, genuine long white hair, genuine long white beard. You know, for realsies.
It's curly, right?
It's curly a little bit.
He looks exactly like Santa Claus.
Yeah. In fact, when he's walking around in public, especially this time of year, there's little kids like, "Hey, Santa!" You know, pointing at him as he walks by and everything. Yeah. And he does dress up as Santa and does appearances. You know, I'm not sure how many of those are paid and how many of those are just like, you know, for charity to be nice to the community or whatever. But so, yeah. So basically, due to all that, they kind of go crazy at Christmas. They're like kind of Christmas fans, you know. So they got like tons of Christmas decorations, and they got a tree on a rotating stand that like continually rotates, and it's pretty cool. And the other interesting aspect was, not that Christmas is all about the gifts, but I'm the first guy Sarah's ever been in a serious relationship with that her parents actually liked.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think I kind of, you know, hit the mother load of Christmas giftage. I mean, because like, you know, it's like they kind of were, everyone was taking, each person takes turns opening all their gifts in one sitting. And like, it comes to my turn. Well, I guess it wasn't just me, but everyone in their family was like, big ass Tupperware bin full of like, all right, you know, here's, you know, gift palooza.
It was
mainly clothes. They got me a really awesome winter jacket and some new boots and you know, socks and underwear and shirts and jeans and nice pants and stuff.
Yeah.
But then, you know, down there was Mario Kart. So, you know,
yeah.
And her brother gave me, the Family Guy Empire Strikes Back, something, 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 Dark Side DVD.
Yeah. And are our levels loud enough?
Yeah, they're loud enough.
Okay.
I'm gonna run this through a thingamabob that's gonna make it all balanced out anyway. So.
It sounded the levels were kind of goofy on the last episode.
Well, it's because we were at your place and I didn't have the time to run them through anything before we left.
Yeah, there's something else I was gonna say about that, but anyways, what else do you have to say about your Christmas?
Well, then early Christmas morning, we got up and made the 5.5-hour drive from St. Louis to Lake Geneva to have Christmas Day with my mom. And for the first time ever, my uncle and aunt and cousin joined us, which was pretty cool. And we sat around all day watching, like, JT and Mike and, you know, my sister-in-law Susan and, you know, get this mother load of gifts. And I'm just sitting there, like, you know, not getting too much. And even Sarah seemed to be getting more gifts than me. And then my mom ended up giving us a $300, like, gift card for IKEA so that we could start working on getting furniture in the house.
Wow.
So that kind of explained why I didn't seem to have too much giftage happening when I was sitting there. Although I have to give this as a side note. As we all know, earlier this year I moved and I had to go through the big storage unit of stuff that is seen on the cover of my album, Too Much Stuff. And I threw out a whole bunch of stuff and I gave tons of stuff, like I probably made a dozen trips with 3 or 4 boxes each of stuff that I gave to Goodwill. And my mom does the majority of her Christmas shopping at Goodwill over the course of many months. So as I was dropping all this stuff, I kept thinking to myself, I wonder how much of this I'm going to get back at Christmas when my mom buys it, you know, from here again. It's like, oh, look, it's a pile of Saturday Night Live VHS tapes. I'll give these to Luke. It's like, I just got rid of those things.
And?
So, yeah.
Did any of that?
Actually, no, but she did find some interesting Muppet collectibles. Here, I'll show you one.
He just, like, got up and walked over
it's
there.
Just, it's just...
Now he's back.
Some kind of, like, program book for the movie The Muppets Take Manhattan. I've never even seen a book like
this. It almost
like
makes
this.
It look like it's a stage musical.
Exactly. Yeah. And I looked on the inside, and there's all kinds of info about the actors and the puppeteers and stuff.
Weird.
So, yeah, and... I'm not sure. I don't. I hope she didn't pay this price for it. But in any case, it seems like a rarity. I've never seen anything like it before. So
that's cool.
I'm definitely going to hold on to that. Maybe I'll frame it or something. Anyway, but yeah, Christmas was good and fun, and there was family and laughs and stuff. And yeah, so tell us about your hellish experience of traveling.
Well, we left Chicago. Me, my husband, and Josh and I left. We're leaving Chicago in the midst of a snow and ice storm, thinking. And hearing about hundreds of flights being canceled at O'Hare, thinking, oh my gosh, they're for sure going to cancel our flight. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, we're secretly hoping they would cancel our flight because we, you know, I love having Christmas with my family, but we would have also enjoyed having a low-stress Christmas, you know, with each other and the cats and our new Christmas tree at home. But our flight... was not canceled, not delayed, not a problem. We got to Minneapolis, and the next day we had a nicer-than-usual Christmas Eve at my dad's side of the family, which part of the reason it's nicer-than-usual is because of Facebook. Due to Facebook, I'm a lot more familiar with the names of his gigantic family. My dad has... is the oldest of 10 children. He has 8 brothers and 1 sister. And, you know, there's 35 or so grandchildren and 7 or 8 great-grandchildren. So as you can imagine, since I see them once a year, I don't really know all their names. So thanks to Facebook, I felt less unfamiliar with some of the cousins and stuff. Then Christmas Day with my mom's side of the family was... we were worried about the travel to a couple hours north to my grandpa's cabin in, you know, the middle of what was supposed to be like Minnesota's snowpocalypse. But it didn't really turn out to be as bad as it was supposed to be, and we stayed up there that night, so we didn't have to drive at night. And that was nicer than usual as well. There just wasn't the sense of, you know, oh, we're all just here for obligation and we can't wait to get the hell out of here that there usually is. It was more of a, you know, hey, let's have food and sit around and shoot the shit and, you know, play with the kids and, you know, it's just was a lot nicer than usual there too. And I've eaten a lot of cookies this past weekend. I wanted to tell a funny story about my flight over there. It's an embarrassing story, but that's okay because we have an embarrassing fact or story about Luke coming up in the near future.
Should I get Sarah in here for your embarrassing story?
For my embarrassing story?
Yeah.
No, she can listen to the podcast if she wants to hear it.
Sarah, listen to my podcast.
Josh listens to mine, but he's an episode behind. He didn't hear the episode we recorded while he was off gallivanting at Starbucks when we recorded at my place a week and a half ago. Anyways, so I've been having, like, you know, not to get into too much detail, just digestive problems lately. So Josh and I were in line on the jetway in line to board the plane. And I let out a silent but deadly variety of flatulence. And, you know, of course, I just stood there and pretended nothing happened because that's what you do when you do that. And the young adult couple in front of us with the large baby, small toddler, started sniffing and said, "Oh, smells like it's time to change the diaper." And I just, I was like giggling behind them and I was almost going to say something, but then the dad did the sniff check on the waistband of the kid's diaper and said, "Yep, it's time." So then I decided not to say anything and figured if he got that close to his own kid, his own child's diaper, then perhaps it was time to be changed. But that was embarrassing, but hilarious. And then the trip home was full of suckitude because that's when our flight got canceled. It was Sunday and it was time to come home. So we both had colds at this point, as we both still have. And so we, you know, we're like, sure, we'll go on standby. Yeah, that's great. You know, here, take our bags. And we went in and, you know, we weren't going to get seated on the 10 a.m. flight. So the whole standby list was pushed to the 1 p.m. flight. Not a single standby passenger got seated on the 10 a.m. flight. So, you know, after we did some, you know, digging around and question asking and this and that and the other thing, we found out we were 9th and 10th in priority of a plane that was oversold by 5. So we were pretty sure we weren't getting on any plane that day. And we even called over to American Airlines to see if they had something. And we have no idea why United started canceling a bunch of flights randomly. We should have played United Breaks Guitars on this show, but we're not. Anyways, it's better with the video anyway.
Yeah.
So what did we do? Did we take their offer and stay there another, you know, 24 plus hours? And no, because we don't have any vacation time left and we just wanted to get home anyways. So we rented a car and had surprise road trip in a Hyundai Sonata. I don't remember what color it was. Gray, I guess. And it had Wisconsin license plates, which I liked because we'd have to drive through Wisconsin a lot and Wisconsin state troopers don't like non-Wisconsin plates and ticket them a lot. And the plates said Ray on them, so I kept calling it like it was a Ghostbusters character. But really, as my husband coined the term, it was the non-dementia, non-fun, non-bus. So if we didn't have XM radio, we probably would have, like, you know, drove an ice pick through our ears. But we made it home and we had to go here to get our bags. And we finally were home at 11 p.m. instead of the like 4 p.m. or so that we were supposed to be home. So that's my holiday adventure.
Well, I wanted to, let's see if I can get Sarah over here. So
she might be currently playing Wii. She just received as a gift from Matt Doohan the Wii Dance Dance Revolution. So Luke may be trying to get her to complete her game so she can come in and tell the amusingly embarrassing story about Luke that I don't know about. And I'm just going to keep vamping and talking and talking and talking and hope that Luke eventually comes back. But since he's... Are you coming back? Okay, hey. Hi, Sarah. Sarah is now taking a seat. I'm just trying to keep the chatter going.
So... part one is you need to tell her and everyone. If you remember a couple episodes ago, I briefly mentioned, oh, if Sarah's here, she has to come in and tell an embarrassing thing about me, and then she wasn't here when it happened, or, yeah, whatever. She did not arrive to deliver said story, so now you need to tell people.
Oh, that one. All right, so we're asleep. It's morning. My alarm goes off, and I'm kind of laying there like, oh, I gotta get up for work. And I hear Luke turn over and go, zoom, 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 pew, pew, zoom. And I'm like, what the hell? And I turn over. I realize he's asleep, dreaming, and going, zoom, 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 pew, pew, pew. So wake him up, of course. Like, what are you dreaming about? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, you were going zoom, 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 zoom. He's like, I was? So there you go.
Wow.
Embarrassing stories from Luke Ski's bedroom.
That's awesome.
It really makes you wonder about my subconscious.
No, it doesn't. It's
to this day, I don't know what you're dreaming about. But, I hope you're dreaming about a video game and not... Oh,
yeah.
Fill in the blanks. That should be a contest for the podcast listeners. What was Luke dreaming about when he made those noises? You fill in the blanks and we'll pick the winner and you'll get something.
Yes. So
something small.
And since we're trying to not make this podcast last an hour and 45 minutes, I figured I'd just have you on standby here to help me quickly tell the story of the Patton Oswalt Show.
Oh, okay.
So the lovely Sarah had acquired tickets for us to see Patton Oswalt at the Lakeshore Theater, which is an awesome theater that specializes in comedy-type performances. Me and Matt had gone to see Cinematic Titanic there last year, and we intend to go back to see some other awesome local comics, and I'll probably talk about that when the time gets closer. But, anyway, we get there, and the seats aren't assigned seating, but they have someone who's there kind of like, you know, maitre d'ing people to seats, you know, because it's going to be sold out. So we get there, and it's like, oh, just the two of you? It's like, yes. Oh, do you want to sit in the front row? yes. So we go there, and, you know, I am literally sitting in front row center stage seat.
Wow.
You know, so it was awesome. So the show starts. First two comics go up. They were really awesome. And then they had an intermission. They did a raffle where somebody could win a big teddy bear with a t-shirt that said, Dane Cook sucks and you know it, and a chance to get a photo with Patton. And I entered that, and I didn't win it. And I'm like, oh, darn. Guess I won't get to have any, you know, one-on-one time with Patton. The show keeps going. Patton comes out. He starts doing his show. He's doing great. It's so cool to see him do both material that I've heard before and material I haven't heard before because he's still working on it. So, you know, I was having a great time laughing my ass off. In fact, I was worried about me laughing too hard and becoming a spectacle or whatever. So about, whatever, halfway through the show, as many comedians do, it's time for working the crowd, which is a good way to kill time and get some spontaneous laughs, and it makes you, you know, look better and get some laughs. So, of course, front row center, he goes directly to me. It's like, hey, where are you from? Des Plaines, and you know, he's like, oh, really? It's pronounced Des Plaines, and he kind of riffed on that, and like, oh, yeah, that's a Midwestern thing to do. And he's like, oh, what do you do for a living? Now, if I would have said, oh, I do comedy and blah, 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 that would have gotten me nowhere.
Right.
Or more to the point, that would have gotten him nowhere because it was like, oh, it's another comic. This isn't going to generate anything for me just to talk to him about, you know, whatever. So I, in my brain, went the other route that I knew was going to help him out better. I'm a caricature artist.
Yeah.
So he then was like asking me questions, and it turned into like at least a full 5 minutes of him riffing off of me telling him about what it's like to be a caricature artist. Because he'd be like, you know, have you ever done this? Yeah, sure. Well, what about that? You know, and like, and then he would. So in the process of doing all this, you may remember, oh, I should have queued that up. Oh, well. from one of my voicemail messages. Actually, it was the second one I did. It was in January of last year. I talked about, he's like, has anyone ever asked to be drawn to something really crazy? And I really quickly gave him the short version. Two girls came to me and they said they wanted a body and background, but they kept insisting that they didn't want a couple of the bodies. They told me specifically to make whatever random things I wanted them to be. So I drew one as Snoopy on his doghouse flying like he's fighting the Red Baron, and the other one as a Dalek from Doctor Who.
Which he loved.
Yeah. He like, so like he stops and then recaps what I just said into the mic for the audience to hear, like getting more specific and detailed. It's like, you know, Snoopy flying as a World War I flying. It's actually kind of sweet and cute. But then you draw the other one as a, you know, salt and pepper shaker, you know, robot assassin, which actually deep down inside is occupied by little slug organisms. And like, he's like really like disseminating it and breaking it down.
And then he's talking about, you know, the different seasons of Doctor Who. Oh, well, did they like Tom Baker? Or
yeah. Are they Pertwee fans? And, you know, it's like going off and, oh, so it was so great. And then, like, so, like, at the end of the whole thing, he, like, just comes up to toward the end and says, like, what's your name? Luke. It's like, and he, like, reaches out his hand and I stood up and I shook his hand. It's like, he was like, thank you very much. And then he goes on to, like, somebody else, some other hipster in the front row, like, wearing a scarf. He's like, hey, Scarfy, are you wearing a scarf? What do you do? And, like, kind of, like, him answering his own question. What do you do? I run a blog where I make fun of caricature artists. And then he kind of went on from there. So that was so freaking awesome. You know, unfortunately, I didn't, you know, there was no meet and greet or anything after the show. So we went out, we got some food, and then we went home. And I'm like, I got to go to his website and try to email him now. Yeah. And I went to his website, and unfortunately, there's no contact or respond email. But he has a Facebook fan page. So I went there, and I said, you know, this was like, whatever, 2-3 in the morning. Like, hey, this is, you know, Luke, the caricature artist from the front row of the show tonight. You did an awesome show, you know. Blah, blah, blah. And then he responded to that by saying, you were every crowd working comedian's dream. So that was really fucking awesome.
Well, because Scarfy was, yeah, was like useless. I mean, he first of all, he tried to, like, respond back to Patton with one of Patton, like a throwback to Patton's jokes. And Patton's like, look, I'll make the jokes here.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, yeah, I work in the Marriott as the front. I mean, he had to, like, drag every piece of information out of this guy. And it was just, like, after that, he didn't work the crowd anymore. So
yeah, it was, like, because, like, not that I'm trying to be, like, oh, I saved the day or whatever. But it's kind of, like, I've seen enough comedy and I know here's what they're looking for. Something, a launching point, you know. So I'm trying to give him something that he could then spin, you know, put his own spin on and boom, you know. And it fucking killed. So it was amazing. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, I didn't bootleg the show or anything. I even emailed the Lakeshore Theater to ask them, you know, perchance, is there an audio recording of that so I could play that 5-minute segment on my podcast? And nobody emailed me back.
That
and,
just sucks. It's, you know, a moment in time lost forever.
Yeah.
So
this is the closest we're going to have to being able to remember it.
So anyway, so yeah, I really haven't told anybody about it because I was waiting to tell you about it here. So,
well, that's fucking awesome.
Okay.
Good story.
Thank you for your assist, Sarah.
Yay! I was so useful.
Now you're gonna go play Wii?
I'm gonna go back playing DDR.
Wii!
Alrighty. Thank you very much. So, next on the agenda is a CD review of Nerd Songs by Insane Ian.
Okay.
I like it! That's the review of Nerd Songs by Insane Ian. No, what is it? Well, let me pull up the track list here again. Oh, I almost belched. I didn't.
No, please. Let's have the belch-free.
That's my Christmas gift to you, Carrie, is I won't belch in this episode.
The belch-free episode.
So,
Habit.
What's that about Gabu?
Released at MarsCon 2009 earlier this year, we have nerd March. Songs.
What? In March.
In March. Is that what I
nerd,
said?
No. We have nerd songs spelled with a three, and I thought it was spelled with a zero also.
Yes.
A three where the E should be and a zero where the O should be.
Which nerd is significant songs. Because he wanted to finish this album by the time he turned 30.
Oh! See, I didn't know that. When did he turn 30?
This year, I believe.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, and the cover has awesome artwork by...
I was also 29 when I released my first album. Is that that's his first album, right?
Yep. Okay. Well, yeah, his first full-fledged album-y album, yes. You know.
Okay.
But, yeah, the awesome cover artwork by TV's Kyle, in which makes yeah. the which makes the entire CD look like a Nintendo DS cartridge
yes.
package. So
yes.
Very well done.
I love that. I love that art a lot.
So, here's the thing about Insane Ian. He is this artist who has things that he likes in pop culture. And he came to this conclusion one day that there should be parody songs that exist about these things that he likes. Though they may not be things that are known by everyone in the world.
Hmm.
They're things that are known by certain specific types of fandoms. So it's like, if you're into that fandom and you heard this song, you'd think, oh, this song is totally awesome and kick ass. But somebody who doesn't really know that fandom might not think it's that great because they're not fully getting all the jokes.
Who would this remind us of? Let us think.
Bacon? I first met Ian a handful of years ago out in the convention scene near Baltimore and D.C. At Farpoint and what was the other one? Balticon. I think those were the two. There's another con out there called Shore Leave. I haven't technically performed at yet, but it's like those are the big three cons of that area. And there's something about that particular region's fandom that really stood out to me. They, on the whole, are really into the notion of like doing staged kind of comedy skit performances, sometimes with music, sometimes without. But like, you know, kind of like the things that our friends up in St. Paul did, the Klingon Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
It's like every con they do seems to have, you know, one to three of these type of shows happening at it. Like they're always writing stuff. One time I was there and I saw a really young kid had done a parody of Spamalot about Batman that he called Bats-a-lot. So, you know, so basically he, you know, him and his parents, you know, grew up in this region of fandom where this notion of writing these songs and doing these things, you know, was greatly encouraged. And then I came along and here I was, you know, him meeting me a few years ago, seeing that here I am making a somewhat career out of, you know, doing this type of material and this type of thing for a living. And he's, you know, always said that him seeing me go for it and do something with it and get somewhere, like, inspired him to want to, you know, give that a shot, too. I mean, he was also inspired by, you know, Devo Spice and Worm Quartet and Tom Smith and Rob Balder and everyone else at the FUMP. You know, and obviously he's a huge Dr. D fan, a huge Weird Al fan. He actually put together another one of the Weird Al fan tribute albums called Me, Myself, and I that came out a few, like a decade ago. I think Chris Waffle did a cover of Waffle King on it, and there's some other nifty tracks on there too. I can't remember what they all are though.
Never heard of it.
I have it somewhere, but yeah. So it's, you know, he was on the verge of turning 30, and he had been kind of trying to psych himself up and get some encouragement. And you know, of course, all of us Fumpers are like, "Yeah, Ian, go for it! You know, put out an album, damn it!" So he put out this album. So it's his first full fledged effort at a CD, and I think for a freshman effort, he's pretty much kicking some ass. So, yeah, that's the background on Insane Ian leading up to the album itself. So, do you want to take over at this point and say some things about the album?
Well, as I mentioned off the air, so to speak, you know, to some extent, I feel uncomfortable doing this review because Ian and I are kind of on the same level as, you know, dementia artists, you know, we're, you know, he's better at some things, I'm better at other things, but, you know, we're just kind of on the same level of as artists and, you know, the same level of obscurity and, you know, It's kind of different than, you know,
doing your colleagues.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just kind of feel a little weird about commenting about it because I'm like, well, wait a second. You know, somebody could say this kind of same kind of stuff about my album, you know. But basically, you know, the elephant in the room, I'll just say it, you know, the biggest problem I have with his songs is, you know, his kind of lack of tonal integrity. He's kind of off key.
How dare you!
And now he's not the only person that I know that has a tendency to be off key. He's probably farther along than Luke was on his first album. You could go back and listen to Born to Lose. and you'll hear some pretty darn off-key stuff. But, I mean, you know, the fact that he's off-key, and he's not always off-key. He sings some stuff that's out of his range, you know.
Which is something I used to do. It's like back in the day, when it came to, you know, having parody ideas and what song should I work on and what song should I do, the notion of I can't do this song or I shouldn't do this song because it's out of my vocal range never entered my mind. It was just like, this is a cool idea. Let's go for it. I can do anything.
Yeah.
And you know, so basically I have to kind of in my own mind be like, you know, respecting that go for it attitude.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But I think the most piercing one is in one of my favorite songs on the album, Saving the World as We Know It, Mondays at 9, which is a parody of It's the End of the World as We Know It by Billy Joel. By the way, I think...
What? Billy Joel?
What?
R.E.M.
R.E.M. Oh, I'm sorry.
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel, R.E.M.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and you know I'm feeling fine.
I got confused because he's got another Billy Joel parody on there, don't he? Anyways.
I just earned a belch on that one. I'm sorry.
No. You didn't belch yet, did you? That was a snort.
Snorting is free.
Snorting is free.
I'd call the podcast Snorting is Free, but then people will think our podcast is about something else entirely different. Anyway, back to this album review we're in the middle of.
Okay. Woo! No. Save the cheerleader, save the world. Save is like a full half note flat, and that's like kind of, here's me putting my finger in my ear. But, you know, basically, you know, I've worked with you on recordings to get you to be, have more tonal integrity. And I feel he's at a similar vocal level of you, so it makes me wish that, you know, it was possible for me to work with him on something just, you know, so I could be like, no, that's not the right note. Do it again. No, do it like this. No, because, I mean, there's other parts where he totally nails it, like on Geeking Out, which we'll play later, when he gets to the chorus, you know, he completely nails it. So, you know. I believe he has the ability to sing more on key than he does. He just needs more. He needs someone like me. what else to say about it? I think he picks pretty good songs to parody overall. And he does a couple originals, doesn't he?
Yeah, there's Lunacy.
Yeah.
Christina Ricci.
I like Lunacy, which was part of the Song Fu Masters of Song Fu challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I like most about that is that's where Insane Ian has the strongest appearance of being insane. Overall, from what I've met of him, he's actually quite the kind and gentle, nice young man. So he overall seems to have quite a lot of sanity intact, but I like the part in Lunacy where he just starts laughing like a lunatic. It's good.
Something I think is noteworthy is the song, the Captain and Miss Piggy, which actually, if I remember correctly, Ian can correct me if I'm wrong in the show comments or whatever.
No, and that Martha Bonsair, is that his mother?
I think so.
Because Bonds.
Yeah.
Because I was on my, which I guess would be my fourth listening to Nerd Songs today, when it suddenly occurred to me, since I didn't have the track listing or any of that notes in front of me, and it suddenly occurred to me, wait, that's not the Stacy on that track. That's his mom. Because I know enough about him to know that his mom is a Filker.
Yeah, actually, I believe it's his mom who wrote that song like 20 some odd years ago and had been performing it at those conventions. And Ian said like he had a memory as a kid of sitting there watching his parents on stage performing this song, and sitting next to him was, oh crap, who was sitting next to him? Some really important person in science literary history, like friggin' Asimov or somebody. It was like he was like sitting there watching his parents sing this song, and he turns next to him and it's some awesome person from that everyone loves and adores, and like that person is laughing along with that song. And now I feel like an idiot because I don't know.
Oh,
I should call. Well, I should call him during the break and find out.
He'll comment on the notes. Just come.
All right.
Come to the website and read the comments. Yes. Ian will tell you.
So, anyway,
I should memorize that song. And now that I have an acoustic guitar, which my husband was sweet enough to buy me for Xmas. Thank you, husband. I should like learn how to play it and like memorize it so that I can sing it in filk circles because that would rock.
Songs I particularly like that stand out to me. Lunacy, as we said, is great. Saving the World as We Know It, Mondays at 9. Where did it go? Oh, Silent Bob, I think, is one of my favorites on the album. Because, getting that Beastie Boys sound, you know, musically is hard to do. And it's weird to say, like, oh, the Beastie Boys are out of his range. But, you know, trying to mimic Ad-Rock's vocals is freaking hard. Even though it's hip-hop, it's like he still is speaking in a high register if you're trying to sound like...
Yeah.
You know, fortunately, the quality of Ian's voice makes him sound like Jay a little bit from Jay and Silent Bob. So it works on that level. Guitar Hero, we should... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I like Umbrella Chronicles as a thing to listen to, but I don't have any idea what it's about.
It's about the video game series Resident Evil.
Okay. I think today was also the day I picked up on, oh, this is probably a video game, and that's about as far as I got with it.
Yeah, and so I think that my two least favorite songs in the album are probably Umbrella Chronicles and Seeing Red, only because I don't play the Resident Evil games, or I've never seen those movies, so I don't know anything about it. And
well, Seeing Red is just about
owning an
Xbox.
Yeah, and it's not so much like, oh, they suck. It's like I said before, it's about a fandom that I'm not into, so I can't appreciate it as much as another person would.
My husband loved Seeing Red because he's seen Red many times, and unfortunately, he's now out of the Xbox world because of it, and because we haven't felt the, burning urge and, like, you know, money burning a hole in our pocket to go buy a new one.
But, there's songs about Back to the Future, Resident Evil, the films of Kevin Smith, Harry Potter, Heroes, Christina Ricci, The Muppets, Star Wars, World of Warcraft, Guitar Hero, and Shaun of the Dead, and other zombie-related things. So,
and we should mention there's something about a zombie, the Zombade Benefit song.
Yes.
In case you guys don't already know about it, because it should have been on the. It should have been. Let's just throw it out there. This should have been on the Fump main page. It's a great song. It's very well done, and it features about 90 bazillion different Fump artists.
Yes, the song features the great Luke Ski, Carrie Dalby, Rob Balder, Worm Quartet, Jake Waters, out of Austin TV's Kyle, DJ Particle, Possible Oscar, Power Salad, and Chris Ballew of the Presidents of the United States of America.
Yeah, and this shit was on the side show. It should have been on the main
page. Hey, I was campaigning like a motherfucker to get him as an auxiliary on that track.
I know. If I had anything to do with it, he'd probably be an auxiliary artist instead of a sideshow artist, but it's not up to me.
Another thing I want to mention about Ian, just because to point out how awesome he is as a person, is, you know, last year when I was preparing for MarsCon 2009, and there were a lot of acts trying to get, you know, main stage time, and there was just so little time, and I came up with this idea of doing the Fump Sideshow show where I could basically only spare about 9 minutes per act. So I put the word out to a whole bunch of these artists to say, like, well, I can get you 9 minutes. That's all I can get you for this year. You know, let me know if you want to take it. And, you know, pretty much everyone else, you know, that was, well, many people said that they weren't going to come just for that. And, you know, I can understand that.
Right.
But Ian decided to take it. He came to MarsCon from the Baltimore area via bus. Not driving in a car, bus. Not on a plane or a train, a freaking bus. It was a, I believe, 30-hour drive, or 30-hour ride on a bus to get to MarsCon so that he could perform for 9 minutes on Sunday after closing ceremonies.
That's dedication.
That's dedication, and he I salute him. Yeah.
So this guy's earned the 30-minute main stage concert he's getting at MarsCon in 2010.
Hells yes, and... He is a Saturday afternoon. I forgot exactly where he is, but he's there. Just go to MarsConDementia.com to check out the schedule.
So we can wind this up now?
Yeah, we can wind this up now.
So basically, it's a funny album. You should own it and go to blah to own it. What's the website?
It's InsaneIan.com.
InsaneIan.com.
And
get Nerd Songs. And our totally not ripping off the scope score is...
Two and three quarter stars. Yes. And here is a song from Nerd Songs. Actually, it's track one. It's the aforementioned Billy Joel song parody called Geeking
The one that's
Out.
Actually Billy Joel.
Yes.
Here is...
Wait, let me get the right things
here
up on the...
Here's
Geeking Out. Yay!
As long as Red Skull is De Niro, and it seems such a waste of time, but that's what we're all about. Mama, if this movie's on, then I'm geeking out. I'm geeking out. Says he's a barista. Reads Battlestar Galactica blogs every day while greatly expanding his keister. Adama's now a Cylon. What the frack? You ought to know by now. These rumors can give you a heart attack. Do you want that to happen here, mister? And it seems such a waste of time. But that's what we're all about. Mama, if this stuff is true, then I'm geeking out. I'm geeking out. For porno, and if that's what he had in mind, if that's what you're all about, good luck surfing on, 'cause I'm geeking out. I'm geeking out. Thank you.
And now it's time for...
By Devo Spice is at devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess we're stupid to prove it innocent, cause it makes it so damn easy to incriminate.
Christmas is about spending time with the people in your life who matter the most to you, like your mother, your father, and the $48,000 robot woman you built for yourself. That's what inventor Lei Trung of Brampton, Ontario, Canada did. The fembot named Aiko, which is Japanese for love child, can speak fluent English and Japanese, play board games, serve drinks, help cook a Christmas turkey, and hang up decorations. Lei has built up huge debts working on his fembot and is still trying to find a technology company to sponsor his research. But in the meantime, he has had to move back in with his parents, and they will all be spending the festive period and New Year together. You have to hand it to Lei. Sure, we've all been living in our parents... we've been living in our parents' basements talking about getting around to building our fantasy robot woman, but how many of us have actually done it? Nobody, except for Lei here. Lei's only problem with Aiko is getting her to walk successfully in a human-like manner. Maybe Lei could teach her how to walk if Lei didn't have her legs spread apart all the time.
In similar news, a man accused of shoplifting a blow-up doll from an adult store was charged with armed robbery in connection with an incident with another patron inside the arcade booth at the same store a few hours later. The Aliqua County Sheriff's Office also accused the man of instigating a disturbance at a convenience store, causing a wreck, and changing into a woman's jogging suit while stealing a gun. Brett Aaron Sanford, 26, was arrested after he was found hiding under the mattress at the home where he and his girlfriend live with her mother in Waldo by a sheriff's office canine named Razor. The explanation? He's stupid. The end. I'd go into more detail, but in honor of the police dog that found him, I'll just say the simplest explanation is the best one, thereby applying Occam's Razor. You know, I tried to use Occam's razor to shave. It's the simplest explanation as to why I still have stubble on my face.
Four men who thought they were hooking up with women ended up being robbed of everything, including their clothes. Police said the four contacted the women through a dating chat line and met them at about midnight in a house in South Bend, Indiana. The four victims were talking to three women when three other men, two of them armed with guns, arrived. The victims told police one of the suspects fired a shot and told the victims to take off all their clothes. Eventually, the suspects and the women accomplices left with everything, including the victims' clothes. The four victims returned to one of their homes. The police report didn't have any information on whether they made the trip in the nude. They say there are a million stories in the Naked City. Apparently, this was four of them. Perhaps these suspects could be caught in a sting operation with a bunch of naked cops, otherwise known as a blue streak.
And finally, in jolly old England, a dozy robber was arrested while scoffing a chicken dinner at a restaurant he held up at gunpoint 20 minutes earlier. The 38-year-old is accused of stealing several hundred pounds after waving an air gun at terrified staff. He then sniffed the tasty aromas at the Southern Fried Chicken branch and demanded, "Give me one of those Hunger Buster meals, too!" He sat down to eat the meal and was still eating the meal 20 minutes later when armed cops, alerted by the staff, burst into the diner in Colchester, Essex. After the failed chicken restaurant robbery, the man admitted that he did go off half-cocked and has claimed he is going to quit crime cold turkey. Now that he has been goosed by the law, he won't be trying anything like that, hen. I can keep going.
Don't. People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Duck!
This has been News of the Stupid.
Eventually, I do something, and okay. It sounds all slick and not completely unprofessional like it actually did.
That's okay.
Hi. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And now, what would we do if we had the time to?
What would we do if we had the time to?
Figure out how to, you know, mix and stuff so that things don't sound like crap. I don't know.
So you'd learn more about audio programs.
Well, you go first with your thing.
Oh, so you have something prepared.
Yes.
I thought we could get through that really quick.
Okay.
I was just going to say, I'd learn more stuff about audio programs, like how to make nifty instrumentals for parodies. Now, I did ask on my Twitter and Facebook account what would be the best program for me to try to learn, and this was when I wasn't sure what my husband was getting me for Christmas. And I think I got two answers. One said Band in the Box, and the other said GarageBand. So I didn't exactly get a lot of feedback on that. So, but if I had the time and the money to have a audio program and learn how to make nifty instrumentals with it, I would do that.
I think you should talk to Tom Smith. I think he could give you a handful of various options to choose from other than the, you know, two most well-known ones in the world. So,
what is your thing that you would do if you had time to do it?
My thing is, well, everyone knows at this point, at least they should, what a Lukeski moment is, which was defined by Eric Coleman as the point in the show where you plug your stuff. Well, I'm going to define a new term, having a Paul and Storm moment. And if you listen to his podcast, you know what this moment is. That's the moment where Paul and Storm says something really cool is going to happen, but gives you no real information whatsoever about the really cool thing that's going to happen. So that's what I'm going to do right now is comment on a couple of things, basically to say on this notion of, oh, if I just had the time, I'd do this. Well, there's something that I have that's been in the works involving myself and involving others, and it's been in the works for a handful of years now, and it finally came to a point where the people involved said to each other, all right, we're going to stop talking about it and start making plans to make this a reality. So in the coming month, a thing that has been on the back burner for a long time that I have really been wanting to do is going to happen. And hopefully the world will see the results of this, you know, in about a couple of months-ish, you know. So, but, you know, I'm not going to say what it is specifically because, so that's
me. Luckily, I know what things you're talking about, or else I'd have to, like, kill and strangle you, like, right on the show.
Yes. Carrie is privy to the information because, well, she's Carrie, and I privy her to things that, especially when I think there, it's possible her help may be requested, you know.
Oh, now you're possibly giving things away by saying that.
Well, you know.
Don't give anything away.
It's not about singing. I'll just leave it at that. But sometimes Carrie is helpful in other ways. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, this is going to be even more bitchy. I'm not going to say anything about the other thing, but it's a new piece of information that I just got today. And I won't even say what it's about or what it refers to. I'll just show this information to Carrie, and then she'll react to it without telling you any information.
Okay, hang on.
So that you'll all know that there's a cool thing, but you won't know anything about it other than to hear Carrie's reaction.
Let me finish what I'm doing.
Okay.
I have to multitask. That's just who I am.
All right.
Show me a thing.
Okay.
I'm being shown a thing. Sweet. Wow, how'd you pull that off?
Well, if I were to tell you, that would give more information away. So if you think I'm a prick and you want to tell me how much of a prick I am, go to badreport.com and leave a comment.
Or I will.
Okay. So, yeah, that's that. Moving on. Speaking of being a prick, it's time for Luke rants incessantly about some bullshit his brain won't shut up about.
What else can I do? Okay.
You can pay attention to the words that are coming out of my mouth hole.
Well, it's more interesting when I'm listening to the podcast on my headphones.
You're in the podcast!
But
what's
I like
wrong
listening
with you?
To the podcast. Here, first... before you do that, I'm going to take some drugs. I'm gonna do something.
Okay, you do a thing.
It's called oxygen. 90% oxygen-enriched air. Peppermint revitalizing oxygen in a can, and I'm going to have some oxygen now.
Okay.
And I paid for it.
Okay.
Because I'm that gullible.
She just strung a bunch of words together that she found randomly.
No, I didn't. You're the one who wasn't listening.
Huh? What? Doesn't it suck that there's no Mishki until January 4th?
Is that what's going on?
Yeah, he's on. He took a vacation. He took 2 weeks off.
I knew he was on vacation, but I didn't know it was for 2 weeks.
I'm going to send him a copy of the song I Like by Heathen Dan, because I've heard him say, I like little baby ducks, and then like reference that song a billion times, and I'm relatively certain he's never heard this parody of that song.
Anyways.
Which was number 25 on the Funny
You're
going to
rant about a thing. We're in the hour and 5 minute point of our podcast.
Woohoo! Hey, we're almost to our third song.
Wow.
So there's a thing I do that is annoying the piss out of Sarah, so I'm going to mention it here in the hopes that it will curb me from doing it in front of her, at least. I probably won't stop doing it altogether. Anytime anyone says the word lobby.
Lobby?
What do I do? Anytime anyone mentions the word lobby.
Absolutely no fucking idea.
I say, in this lobby, will there be teepee? Teepee for my bunghole? Which is a line from Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Yes.
So every time anyone near me says the word lobby, it's like Pavlovian. I
lobby.
Can't. Well, now we're talking about it clinically. So
lobby.
No.
Lobby. Lobby.
Lobby, lobby. We like to party. We don't cause trouble. We don't bother nobody. Where?
Do it, monkey. Do it, monkey boy.
In this lobby.
Lobby.
In this lobby. Will there be teepee? Teepee for my bunghole? There.
Okay.
So yeah, I need to stop doing that in front of Sarah or she will stab me in the face with a nice pick. Okay.
Now I'm going to be trying to provoke you to do it more.
Well, let me get through the next couple of things. There's a commercial on TV that's driving me up a fucking batshit wall. There's been these commercials the past year or two for Smirnoff Ice where like a bunch of hip young people are doing something, you know,
hip and young.
Hip and young, but slightly unconventional and out of the norm. And with the overall theme being like, you know, what an amazing night. I was there. Smirnoff Ice, you know, or whatever. So it's like one was some city. There was a big grassy hill and it was, I'm assuming, the middle of the summer. And they dumped a bunch of ice on it and they start sledding down it. So like, you know, that was one. Another was, you know, you see some like big, gigantic, you know, sewer place where there's just a bunch of, like, scaffolds, and, like, suddenly, you know, hundreds of young people are showing up, setting up band equipment. It's like, oh, the acoustics were amazing, and it's like they're doing a live show in this, like, sewer tunnel. You know, it's like, oh, that was so cool, I was there! Smirnoff Ice, or whatever. There's this one in this
that
series...
That sounds like a very stinky show. In a sewer tunnel?
Well, I don't know, it's, yeah. But all that stuff makes sense because it's always like they're doing something and then there's a live concert or they're doing something and then a DJ starts playing and it's a party. This one makes no goddamn sense. It's the most retarded thing ever. It starts off with a voiceover saying that you see the outside of an abandoned gas station and you see two people walking up to it and the voiceover says something along the lines of, she told us to black out the windows or just do it all. So then you see them like pull out these like weird fire hoses full of paint. How they got these things, I don't know. Because it's not like spray can. No, it's like they're like blasting it. And they start blasting at the windows with purple paint. Uh-huh. So you see them purpling up the windows. And then for some reason, they're purpling up the whole outside of this abandoned gas station. Then out of nowhere, a whole bunch of other people show up. And they're going inside the abandoned gas station now that the windows have all been blacked out. And then it's like, you know, some other voice is like, I can't believe I was there. And then suddenly, like, on like, you know, a perfect music beat notice, everybody who's in there, like, turns on little bitty, like, flashlights that are all, like, attached to their heads. And then they all, like, look up like, wow, we're in the dark and we all got cute little lights on ourselves. And then you kind of see them bopping there. And then it's like the end, Smirnoff Ice. Now, I didn't see a band. I didn't see a DJ. There was nothing in there that implied, like, this is a social event that's happening. It's a bunch of people gathering in a darkened, abandoned gas station and turning on lights and looking at each other. We have lights on ourselves and we're in the dark! It's like, that's like the most... You know,
I have to take a different stance on this because... My favorite show on TV is a show called Life After People, where they show how the cities would deteriorate when the people randomly disappeared. It doesn't talk about why the people disappear. It just talks about, you know, the deterioration. And then my favorite part of the show is the middle of the show, where they go to some human-built structure and show that's been abandoned forever and show its deterioration, and I fucking love it. I just, like, I'm in awe and fascinated by, like, things that are, like, deteriorating. So, I gotta say, that'd be a lot cooler than going to a fucking concert in a fucking sewer.
Well, no, but I'm not talking about where they're turning purple some gas station from 1910, you know, some kind of antiques roadshow unique thing. It's like, you know, oh, $10 for 10 cents for a gallon, Missy, would you like some penny candy? We're not talking about that. We're talking about a Citgo that just closed 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
2 weeks from your house in just some shitty abandoned lot. It's just a crappy building.
So
oh,
just like,
black out the windows or just do it all. Purple paint. People show up. They go inside. It's dark. Lights are on. Yay!
Wow.
We have lights on us.
We're surrounded by purple.
It's like
purple.
It's like if you wanted to entertain, you know, a bus full of retarded children and you had no budget. Okay, we'll take them to a dark room. We'll give them all flashlights. It'll be the most fun they've had all year. Merry Christmas, kids. Yay! We're in a room with dark lights. And it's like, it's also just illogical because, like, you know, if you just wanted to be hanging out with a bunch of friends with lights, you don't need to paint an abandoned building and black out the windows and then go in there and turn the lights on. Wait for it to be nighttime!
You're making things red.
It gets dark every night. Every night it happens. You don't need to paint a building purple and black out windows. It's just, you make no fucking sense. And it's like, I can't believe I was there. I can't believe you. People aren't locked up. It's dumb. It makes no sense.
There's a radio commercial that drives me so nuts that I, as soon as the opening notes come on, I immediately turn it off so that I don't have to hear it. And now, just to drive myself nuts for a couple days, I'll sing it for you. It goes, now I turn it off so often that I can hardly remember it. It's like, 1-800-CARS-FOR-KIDS, 888-CARS-FOR-KIDS, na-na-na-na, cars for kids. Donate your car today. Boom, 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 1-800-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, cars for kids. 1-800-CARS-FOR-KIDS, donate your car today. Boom, boom, boom. And then it just keeps going, and like, and then
wow,
it'll be in my head for about 72 years. And
now
then
we know
I
what
kill
you
myself.
Could, now we know what you'll be performing at the MarsCon Dementia Smackdown for this year.
Hopefully, since my husband's behind on the podcast, I've been refusing to tell him what this commercial is that drives me so nuts, so that he doesn't start singing it to me.
Okay. So another thing is, T-shirts that say, okay, well, not all of them. I have a T-shirt that has the caption, the phrase, I'm on a boat on it, which is a reference to The Lonely Island, Andy Samberg, Saturday Night Live, Digital Shorts, etc. You know, I'm on a boat. My I'm on a boat T-shirt has Popeye on it. And I really like that because I'm like, that makes sense. Why? Because Popeye is the sailor man.
And he's on,
he's on a boat. That makes sense. That's clever. Now, I've seen other T-shirts that say I'm on a boat, and it just has like some silhouette of a hip-looking guy on a boat. And it's like, okay, whatever. That's kind of cheap. I saw something that at Hot Topic that just bugs the shit out of me for several reasons. It was Elmo from Sesame Street standing there with like a captain's hat, you know, on the deck of a yacht, like, yay, like happy Elmo pose. And it says, I'm on a boat. And it's like, it just annoys me because it makes no sense. Elmo was not known for boating. Why is he on a boat?
Maybe there's
Popeye.
Maybe there's Sailor Elmo in recent episodes of Sesame Street that you have not seen.
I highly doubt it. But like I said before, Popeye is a goddamn sailor man. It makes sense for him to be on a boat. Elmo on a boat doesn't make sense. Assuming that people are who at Hot Topic is like, oh goddamn, I love Elmo so much, I'm going to get this I'm on a boat with Elmo T-shirt.
Well, it's a nostalgia thing, you know. And
well, no. Nostalgia would be Bert, Ernie, Cookie Monster, Grover, Oscar,
for
Big
us,
Bird. Yeah.
For someone 10 years younger than us, Elmo is nostalgia.
Okay, well then fine. If for the people who are into Elmo, it still doesn't make sense. Because Elmo speaks about himself in the third person always.
So,
Elmo's going to go to the store.
Yeah.
Elmo likes you, Carrie. So if they were being correct, it would say Elmo's on a boat.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. Okay.
So that's that.
Okay.
So the show ends. Luke rants incessantly about some bullshit his brain will shut up about.
Are we going to finally play the third song?
Yes, but first I have to tell you about something JT said, which will perfectly lead into this song.
Okay.
JT was talking over Christmas about him and his friend having an argument at a restaurant or some place like they were having a discussion on music. How they got on the topic, I don't know. But the topic was John Denver. And JT was anti-John Denver. His friend was pro-John Denver. And they were having a conversation. And there were a bunch of other people around.
Wait, which one was JT again? I know
JT was anti-John Denver.
Okay.
And his other friend was pro-John Denver. And they were having an argument. And JT just, like, got pissed. And he said in a really loud voice, "There's only two things John Denver did right. The Muppets Christmas album and crashing his plane." And then upon saying that, some little old lady heard him like, "Oh my God, how could you just say blah?" Like, got all upset with him for saying that.
That's awesome.
So on that note, here is the newest track at thefump.com. Tom Smith doing his John Denver best with somebody else's lyrics.
Now you can say a lot about a guy like me. I'm a spazzy fanboy watching too much TV, collecting action figures, comic books and such. And I like Wonder Woman just a little too much. But there is one thing, you would be very mistaken to question my devotion. It will never be shaken. If you do, you'll see my wrath and then you'll be quaking. To put it plain and simple, I love bacon. I put bacon on my burger when I order double cheese. I put bacon on my salad, but I throw away the leaves. I grind bacon into powder, and I mix it with my salt. I blend bacon with my ice cream, and I make a bacon malt. I eat bacon all alone. I'll eat bacon in a group. I eat bacon chopped and mixed into my chicken noodle soup. I'll eat bacon with Doritos, an entire can of Spam, and I'll even top it off with Soylent green eggs and ham. Bacon is delicious, it's so yummy, it's so great. Bacon is the substance stacked a foot high on my plate. Bacon is so tasty, it's so awesome, it's the best. Bacon is the food that I keep tucked inside my vest.
Yum, yum, eat 'em up, yum. Yum, yum, eat 'em up, yum.
If you say I like it too much, well, I say the hell with that. As I place upon my head a brand new styling bacon hat. It was made out of the meat strips that I constantly desire. Fresh and hot, off the wire, from designer Oscar Mayer. So call me a dork when I eat it with a spork. I'm a rats of frets and Pac-Man eating dots of salted pork. It's an entree and a condiment, so kill the condemnation. And I hang it on my walls just to use as decoration. I eat bacon in the morning, I eat bacon in the night. I won bacon playing Plinko on the show The Price is Right. If you do not comprehend it, well, I guess I'll spell it out. B is for the byproducts like gristle, grease, and grout. A is for the apple, smoky flavor today. C is for lettuce, which goes on a BLT. O is for ostrich. N is for never get a side order of sausage. Bacon is my dinner, is my dessert, is my snack. Bacon is the reason that your baby got back. Bacon is the ruler, is the master, bacon reigns. Bacon is what's clogging all my arteries and veins.
Eat 'em up, yum.
Could it be a big conspiracy that bacon's on my brain? Bacon was the dying word of Charles Foster Kane.
Bacon's written backwards on an old Da Vinci scroll. Bacon was the second gunman on the grassy knoll. Bacon laundered all the cash of Mr. John Gotti. Bacon wrote the bylaws of the old Illuminati. Bacon changed the recipe of Coke for no reasons. Bacon played Becky on Roseanne for two seasons.
Bacon was the last opponent that Dale Earnhardt raced.
Bacon is a Hanukkah gift for those with piss-poor taste.
Bacon crashed my car.
Bacon shot JR.
Bacon knows where Waldo, Hoffa, and Atlantis are.
Bacon told Titanic not to worry about the ice. Bacon knows you're naughty, and it knows when you are nice. Bacon flew to Hiroshima when they dropped the bomb. Bacon is your father, cause it hooked up with your mom.
Bacon rigged the Super Bowl with help from John Madden. Bacon was the voice of Iago on Aladdin.
Hey, what happened to the song?
I just ate some bacon, so the mix came out all wrong.
Bacon is the freedom, is the power, is the way. Bacon is the Indian who sang YMCA. Bacon is the answer, is the question, is your friend. Bacon is the savior that will save you in the end. Bacon, 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 bacon by the score. Bacon, 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 bacon galore.
So you want to beat a Denny's, say round 804?
As if I had the time to eat breakfast anymore.
Yum, yum, eat 'em up, eat 'em up, yum.
Anymore.
Yum, yum, eat 'em up, eat 'em up, yum.
Yum, yum, eat 'em up, eat 'em up, yum.
Bacon.
Yes, that was Tom Smith. And, okay, here's how that song came into existence.
By the way, I didn't think we'd have two brand new parodies of Luke Ski originals for this show.
Well,
I showed up and there they were.
Well, the ridiculous one came out a long time ago.
Oh, well, I've never heard it.
Yeah. I did the cover and back CD artwork for the new Fump CD, which will be sent off to the printers shortly, if not already. And I was trying to go into the page, the Fump Submit song page, so I could look ahead and see what the titles of the next coming songs were, so I could get all that laid out. And the only one I didn't have was the last song, which was Tom Smith's. I was, for filler, just so that there was something there, I put Tom Smith. I originally typed Tom Smith dash bacon exclamation point parentheses John Denver as a mofo version parentheses. And then as I was working on the artwork, I realized that wasn't – because it took up two lines. It was taking up too much space. So I just shortened it down to, Tom Smith, insert song title here. And then I finished it up, and I showed it to the guys, and they all liked it. And then Tom's comment was, "I'm so tempted to make my song called Insert Song Title Here." To which I responded, "Well, I was going to have it be Bacon, John Denver is a mofo version," but there were, blah, blah, blah. So so I said that, and it never got brought up again until last night. I'm sitting there watching, WALL-E with Sarah, and then my thing goes off. Oh, a message from the Fump. New song, Tom Smith, Bacon, John Denver's a mofo version. I'm like, oh, god damn.
That's
he actually did it.
Cool. So you didn't find out till last night?
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Devo didn't find out until like the night before or something like that. So it's very cool. So thank you, Tom, for doing that if you're out there listening.
Because
I had thought I had that notion floating in my head for the past couple of years, just him, bacon is the answer, it's the power, is the way. I just kind of thought, God, that would be so funny if he did that, but I wasn't gonna push it or anything.
And you weren't even trying to hint. You're just like, that's what I was originally gonna put there. Or were you trying
I was gonna put that, as the title of your song. Haha, I'm so clever. And, then he's like, oh, yeah, well, clever this, motherfucker. I'm going to do it now, jerk.
So you did that because you wanted to see if Tom would do it, and then he did it.
I mainly did it as a joke, but the subtext is, wouldn't it be cool if he actually did it? And he did do it. So that's how awesome Tom Smith is.
That's an amazing story.
All right, we have got to rocket through the rest of this shit.
Yeah, we're going to fly.
So what's Luke plugging now? What's at the Fump? Bacon, John Denver's a mofo version by Tom Smith. Also, songs by Steve Goody, Nuclear Bubble Rap, TV's Kyle, Chris Waffle Experience, Power Sal, Money Shot, Cosmonauts, and Steve Goody. Yes, I said Steve Goody twice. Shut up. Dr. Demento had his funny 25 countdown. You can hear it at drdemento.com/online. It's there for just $2 for your listening pleasure. But I'll spoil it for you anyway. The number one song of the year ended up being Save Me Obama by Robert Lund, written by Spaff. So congrats to those two guys. It's an awesome song, and they totally deserve to be number one. It's their first ever number one song of the year. So big, big congrats to them.
Woot, woot, woot.
Woot. As Rob Balder pointed out, all of the top five songs of the year were Fump songs. And on the... altogether, the top 25, if you're including the one track from the Fump Sideshow, there were 14 tracks on the Funny 25 were Fump songs.
Nice.
So that, you know, encompasses Robert Lund, Spaff, me, Steve Goody, Rob Balder, Devo Spice, Carla Ulbricht, Sea Monkey, Worm Quartet as a part of Bald Box, Possible Oscar, Projects as a Fist, Bob Ricci, Odd Austin, the lovely Carrie Dalby, and MC Lars. So, yeah, this is the end of the third year of the Fump's existence, and I think we're pretty much kicking ass and taking names. And, yes, as far as myself, me, Luke Ski goes, my song, Too Much Stuff, was the number two song of the year. It got beaten by Save Me Obama by Robert Lund, and hey, that's okay with me. but I appreciate all you fans out there that were requesting it all year. Dr. Demento really loved the song as well. Number 22 was Marvel Poppins featuring Carrie Dalby. Yay, Carrie Dalby. And number 23 was a resurgence of Dementia Revolution with MC Lars. And I was also featured on song that was number 4 for the year, Devo Spice's Platform Wars, which has myself and Dual Core on it.
And is an awesome song.
Yes, and is also very awesome. So I had 3 songs on the Funny 25 and 1 guest spot, which for me is a Funny 25 record. It also brings me to a total of 14 different tracks I've had appearing on the Funny 25 over the span of 13 years.
Sweet.
So... that's that. So like I said, drdemento.com/online to listen to that show. House Party at Arkham Asylum is the free MP3 of the week at lukeski.com. Go check it out. Battlestar Rhapsody has gone viral, which is interesting. I can't really fully explain it. That video has been out on YouTube for 5 months. Why all of a sudden now people are taking notice of it, I don't know. But it was mentioned at the Huffington Post. It was mentioned at Internet Movie Database. It was mentioned on Alyssa Milano's Twitter. Executives from the Sci-Fi Channel have been Twittering about it.
Wow.
So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that just happened like literally in the past day or two.
I know you said it went viral, but you didn't get into that much detail because you were talking about it on Twitter.
Yeah, so I posted about it at my website in the hopes that it will lead people's internet searches to be like, hey, look, we found it. I'll be at VisionCon in January. I'll be at MarsCon in... what would that be? March? Yes. And of course, order the Dementia Track fundraiser CDs, you goddamn ungrateful sons of bitches. I mean, you wonderful fans who need to support your funny music people so that I don't have to pay for them myself.
Okay.
Or they don't, yeah.
Are we done with plugging?
I guess so.
Okay. What's next?
What shade of pink are you wearing?
Purpley pink. What's next?
Okay. Short ignorance story. So I've been watching reruns of the classic Star Trek because I have never seen them before. The great majority of them I've never seen before. So I've been systematically going through them during my downtime at caricature type things. So I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, kind of in between episodes and I had my headphones off and some father comes up with his two kids looking at my four prices, which are my four drawings, which are the prices of 5, 10, 15, and 20. And he's like, do you have any discounts for kids? And I said to him, thy prices are about as discounted as they can get, sir. It's like, oh, you sure you can't do anything? I mean, I got my two kids here. I stand up and I point at the four signs as I'm saying this. If this were Six Flags, that would be 15, that would be 20, that would be 20, and that would be 25. His response, well, I never go to Six Flags. My response, I'm going to watch Star Trek now. I sat down, I put my things on, I started watching the next episode, and then like 30 seconds later, he's like, all right, I'll get one done. And like, fine. So, yeah, that's...
Wow.
We'll leave that at that for this year for Ignorant Stories.
Where were you drawing?
That was at Ed's.
Ed's, okay.
So, Yeah. So this is the end of the show. Nearing the hour and 30 mark, we still got a song to play.
We're still going
to
be shorter than the longest one ever, because that's going to remain the benchmark for longest show ever.
Okay. We should probably allude to the forthcoming Blasted Bill and Luke and Moonbeam and Carrie's
Bad Report of Destiny.
Bad Pod Report of Destiny thing. We're going to be recording some special kind of two-parter episode with them New Year's Day. And then,
so 3 days from now.
Yeah. So if we do things the way I'm assuming we're going to do them, I could be wrong, we'll be like the first half of the show will be on their podcast feed, and the second half of the show will be on our podcast feed. So
don't go subscribe to Bill and Moonbeam's Pod of Destiny, then you're going to be confused the next time you hear Luke and Carrie's Bad Report.
Yes.
So go subscribe.
So yeah, and that would be at dementiaradio.org/podod.
Yes.
I think.
In iTunes, just go to the iTunes store, enter Pod of Destiny, and it'll be the first thing that comes up.
And, of course, if you enjoyed this episode, we want you to leave comments. So go make comments at the website badrapport.com, BADRAPPORT.com.
And fan us on Facebook, please.
Yes, you can fan us on Facebook and make comments there. We have a Twitter account, which is badrapport, BADRAPPORT. So you can, make comments there. There's an email address, badrapport@gmail.com. And, of course, there is the voicemail line, which nobody used this week. Of 916-LUKE-SKI. So
use that, because that would be nifty if it was more than just the two of us.
Yeah, we want to hear your voice comments on the show, so please do that. So, Carrie, tell us really quick why you want to play this song for the After the Outro song.
Because it fucking rules! It's my favorite MC Lars song, and it's triumphant, and I think it's a great song to bring in the new year with.
Alrighty, so thank you so much for listening to episode 7 of Luke and Carrie's Bad Report. Carrie.
The part where we say our names again.
I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And you just said our names again.
Yes, we just said our names again.
BadReport.com. And now here's MC Lars. CPs, y'all.
CPs.
Lars Horace. I like your song. I'm writing a song about you. I'm about to write it on my next rocker record, which is called This Gigantic Robot Kills.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the victory anthem. Welcome to This Gigantic Robot Kills. We've got my childhood hero, Weird Al Yankovic, playing accordion on this jam. That means we've made it, guys. Check it out. This is a song about my life. And it goes a little something like this. Since I was 3, I had ADHD. Got in trouble constantly, so it just gotta be me. And 19 years later, I've got this piece of paper. It says, congrats, you broke English major. I still live with mom and dad. And it's kinda sad when the Stanford grad brings ladies to his pad. What up, girl?
Aren't you that rapper with that song about hot topic?
Maybe Bukowski was right about women.
Stop.
This is an old school jam. I'm dropping knowledge like Plato. Almost rappers track it backwards and stay flat like Plato. But I'm a minor threat. I flip scripts so they know. You can't tase me, bro.
Don't tase me, bro.
Nothing to conceal. Keep it surreal. Piss off the British press when I'm like, who's John Peel? The enemy says,
Lars is well rubbish. His single is bollocks.
But I know that they love this.
I'm MC Lars.
True player for real.
TPFR.
True player for real. It's my self-referential introduction song.
You know the deal.
True player for real.
I'm MC Lars.
True player for real.
TPFR.
True player for real. The name's MC Lars.
Living large and in charge.
For real. Once upon a time, Grandmaster Flash inspired these nerds with the culture clash. Once Run DMC mixed rock guitars with the kick, snare, kick, kick, snare. Public Enemy took a political stand. Now we pirate these records like Dan the Man. And WA got attacked by the media. Now we check the facts up on Wikipedia. Can't get on the stage at the Jay-Z show. So we boot up Pro Tools and bust the funky flow. Online for free, we don't make dough. Okay, just thought I'd let you know. And I can give you 27 reasons why. Post-punk rhymes are just as fly as anything born from mainstream rap. Till my laptop dies and I'll take that back.
I'm MC Lars.
True player for real.
TPFR.
True player for real. Still my self-referential introduction song.
You know the deal.
True player for real.
I'm MC Lars.
True player for real.
TPFR.
True player for real. The name's MC Lars.
I'll smack a rock star.
True player for real. Like Ralph
Waldo Emerson, I stay self-reliant. Genre defined, all ages showed with Kobe Bryant. I just checked Billboard, my album's in the charts. I think that for a sound scan, right Descartes. But am I a culture thief making hip-hop sound white? Haven't got the right like Lancelot the Knight. No, Camelot's a myth, and Guinevere's a slut. So I'll jump into this mosh pit, pants sagging like what?
Key change.
I'm MC Mars.
True player for real.
DPFR.
True player for real.
That's